Last time on Oz Hour.
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, the group figures out from some wildflowers that they need to go to, well, where they need to go. I don't remember exactly what they said. Anyway, moving forward, they start going, and then they... All of a sudden, I just forgot everything. Oh, the I forgot his new name. The Rossing? No, the Roquat? No, it's something different. But we're just gonna call him that for now because I can't remember. But he finds out that they're coming, and he comes up with a plan to make them not come and steal all his things because that's what he thinks they're gonna do. And so he messes up the tunnels and makes them go down a hollow tube, I think, a hollow tube. And they go down there and they're like, what the hell's going on? And then they run into, I'm just not fair with all the names because this is like Isotope, Isotophies, whatever they are. They run into those things and, oh, they're like invisible too. And TikTok's in a fountain and he shouldn't be in there because it's dangerous, and they get him out and they say, you're going to this person to get I can't remember. That's it, I'm done.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 47 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange Land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be continuing with Book 8, TikTok of Oz, covering chapters 11 through 13.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone.
And Wyatt Swayam.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate, Hannah Aguirre.
I feel the rush. Addicted to your touch, oh.
Savon.
Savon.
Hannah just played last time on, where she recapped what happened last time in TikTok of Oz. That took 1 minute, 23 seconds.
I really felt rushed there.
I wouldn't even call that a recap.
that was so me getting scared.
Yeah.
So you said something about they learned the way to go wherever they're going from the wildflowers. The wildflowers simply point them in the direction of Ruggedo's caverns.
Yeah. Ruggedo.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
Yeah. His name is Ruggedo, the metal monarch.
The metal monarch.
You just call them his old name, I think. So
yeah.
At least
Roquat. Yeah. Okay.
And then you said, like, he thinks they're going to steal all of his things. Steal all of his things is exactly what they're going to do because Anne and the Oogaboos are part of our traveling.
Oh, that's right. World domination.
And they want world domination.
You know, yeah. I think I might have drank a little bit too much last time because.
Wait till you hear Charlie's credits from last week. You lost me after that, so I don't have any notes, but it was probably like more or less like where we're going. We get to the other side of the world through the tube, and yeah, there's people there.
They meet the what the hell did you call them?
Isotopes. Where did that come from?
I don't know. There was a name that I remember.
There is Tubekins.
Do we even know that? Oh, we do know that yet. Yeah. Oh. We do know that yet.
So I was just saying
You were just saying things.
Yeah.
Most of that was made up
isotopes,
and you got lucky.
A word? Really?
Yeah.
Isotoner is the glove OJ couldn't get on.
Ooh. Yeah. Rip.
No. Before we started recording, Wyatt whipped up some cocktails that look so beautiful. What are these?
So tonight we are drinking the Gin Gin's Judgment. It is a gin sour, including egg white.
And?
Gin and dragon fruit.
Dragon fruit.
Puree.
Sir.
That's good. That's tasty.
It's refreshing. We made them a long time ago.
Chapter 11, The Famous Fellowship of Fairies.
So Tubekins leads the gang through the beautiful castle gardens, because if you remember, it was like they were in the gardens of a castle or something. They could see the spires last time.
Yeah, they could see the walls around the garden.
But once they reach the inside of the castle, Tubekins takes them into this huge domed chamber, and he has them sit down in seats that are arranged in a semicircle in front of a throne.
Yeah, so there's no one else in this room at
this
point.
Could I the Tubekins, do they live, because I don't remember anything from the last episode, but do they live in a tube?
They're just at the other end of the tube.
Yeah, so it just comes out on the other side of the earth.
Okay, and they're just called Tubekins for the fun of it.
This guy is called Tubekins. Oh, so that's, we don't know like, anyone else's name.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
yeah, okay. We will later learn that he is the Tube King.
That's such a weird name. It seems like a group of people.
It does. Yeah, no, it does.
Hey, Tubekins.
Tubekins are here.
Tubekins is here. But Betsy thought that Tubekins was like the king of this place, because if you remember, he was wearing a crown when Anne landed on him. She like stuck it down on his head. So Tubekins like bows toward the throne and immediately becomes invisible.
Yeah. And then they're like, okay, we're all alone. But then they hear rustling around them and they hear footsteps. And again, they realize the air that looks completely empty is just thick with invisible people. And then a bell rings. And in a flash, the entire room is full of people that look exactly like Tubekin, which is like yellow arm, blue arm, fucking pink leg, other colored leg, maybe green, and then like black feet, scarlet robe, beautiful blue eyes, and like big brown or black hair. So like they all look identical, though. All identical.
Okay.
Which is kind of freaky.
That's a little freaky.
Betsy like leans over to Polychrome and she's like, that's a lot of kings and queens.
Yeah, because they're all wearing the crown too. Yeah. They all have like a crown.
And
which is strange.
Polychrome's like looking around with interest, but she doesn't seem remotely concerned. Which like, it must be nice to be mortal, because like she just doesn't seem scared at all. This seems terrifying to me.
Yeah.
But Polychrome's like, yeah, it's weird. Like, how can they all be rulers? Like, somebody has to be in charge.
There's a there's one jester somewhere in there.
Yeah, there's actually, one private.
That's actually an interesting thought, because one of these people, like a king, leans over and is like, oh, like, actually, like, if you are your own master, like, that makes you a king. Everyone here is a king and queen, and they have, like, all these responsibilities. But we all agree to bow to one ruler, the private citizen.
Betsy says, who that is.
But then, right at that moment, another bell rings, and another man appears on the throne, just sitting.
So all of the other kings and queens like fall to their knees, and they like bow so low they touch their foreheads to the floor before this guy, the private citizen.
God damn, they're obsessed.
Yeah, they are. And he looks just like all of them, but with some like minor differences. So instead of big blue eyes like them, he has black eyes with like red centers, irises.
Oh,
yeah, like a cool.
Instead of a scarlet robe, he has a white one, but it also has the dragon's head in the middle, like all the other ones have. And he asks Tubekins, like, what charge lies against these people you brought here?
Yeah. What crime, basically? And he's like, well, they went through the tube. But Betsy jumps in here and she's like, okay, well, like, it's like, it was like this, see, we were walking toward the Gnome King and Shaggy's brother is missing. But then suddenly the guy who's appeared on the throne is like, who are you?
Yeah. Why are you talking to me? But Betsy, like, introduces herself. She's like, I'm Betsy. This is Hank. Here's what's going on. And he's like, who's the leader of your party? And then Anne is like, well, I'm the queen of Oogaboo.
And he's like, keep quiet. Who is the leader? And then one of the generals stands up.
Just got to take charge. Be confident.
Yeah. But Private Citizen says, sit down. You're a bunch of officers. It doesn't matter. You don't even have an army.
And General Clock like kind of takes offense to this, and he's like, actually, we do have an army. And the private citizen's like, where? And TikTok's like, it is me. I am the army of Oogaboo.
Yeah.
And he's really playing into that role now.
Yeah, he's like, I accept.
But he's a private soldier. And so the private citizen rises, he bows, and he says, oh, TikTok, like, or like private soldier, like, I didn't realize you were here. Come sit down by me on my throne.
Wow.
So TikTok goes, crunk, 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 and he gets up on the throne next to him. And Anna's pissed because she's like, I'm the queen. Like, yeah. Nothing has turned out for her the way she had hoped.
You wish you were a private now, huh, bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the private citizen, he just like asks some questions of TikTok. And TikTok tells the private citizen about their journey to find Shaggy's brother and how they met Betsy and Hank and Ozga and Anne and the Boogaboo Whites, the whole everything. And citizen is like, did you intend to conquer King Ruggedo when you were on your journey?
And TikTok's like, well, that's our only option. Like, he has the brother. Like, we have to do it. But unfortunately, he was too clever. And he sent us down here. And now we're fucking stuck over here on the other side. We are fucking stuck here on the other side.
The private citizen, like, thinks about this for a minute. And he's like, okay. So the punishment for coming through the Forbidden Tube is death. To be tortured for 9 days and 10 nights, and then we throw you back into the tube.
Oh,
and to go back where you came from.
Okay.
TikTok's pretty much like, oh my God. But the private citizen is like, but in this case, that law conflicts with justice, and when that happens, you disregard the law. So he tells the gang that they will not be punished and that the Gnome King is solely to blame for forcing them through the Forbidden Tube, which means the Gnome King must be punished.
He will be getting the consequence.
Yeah, because they didn't break the law. The Gnome King broke the law. Mm-hmm. And actually, he knew he broke the law. But
he willingly broke the law.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he fucking knew.
But TikTok is like, hey, fella, sounds good to me. But Ruggedo is all the way on the other side of the world. So how are you going to get him? And the private citizen says something fair, which is like, do you think anyone in the world can be out of my reach? Like, I am fucking super powerful and super magical.
And he has like thousands of invisible people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm the great Jinjin. Record scratch.
Yeah. So basically a lot happens. So TikTok is like, you're the great Jinjin, the great TTT Hoochoo. And he's like, yeah, I'm the great Jinjin TTT Hoochoo. And screams.
It sets everyone off, yeah.
Yeah. Anne is screaming, just wailing.
She goes into trembling.
Shaggy Man is sweating. He's wiping himself off. Files and the Rose Princess are just embracing, which they probably were before that, but now they're also scared. It's like Scooby-Doo style.
Polychrome, who was like cool as a cucumber earlier, is like, oh, fuck, no.
And all the officers moan and cry and begin to like bow in front of him and cry for mercy.
Betsy has no fucking idea what is going on.
I know, but she's so scared. She's like, what's
everyone's
happening?
Reaction.
And TikTok says, if you're TDT Hoochoo, then like you and you believe that Ruggedo is to blame, something crazy is going to happen to that man then.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he said that, but he just told us basically. Like, yeah. That's what that means.
Let me let you know.
Betsy is like, I wonder what like is that going to be?
No, that's verbatim what she says.
What?
Yeah.
That's what I'd ask.
Fuck it, we'll fix it in post. The private citizen, TDT Hoochoo, the great Jinjin. Everybody has 45 names in this book. He looks at Betsy and he tells Betsy that he's going to decide Ruggedo's fate right now.
After the break.
Pretty fucking much, actually. We're going to be determining the Gnome King's fate right after this. Because first he tells the kings and queens, he's like, look, this TikTok guy, he's telling the truth. His machinery will not allow him to lie. I can tell that. And he tells them that the travelers need to just all be taken to the various palaces wherever there's room and to be entertained until the next morning where they'll come back to TDT Hoochoo's chambers and...
And he will deliver his judgment.
He will deliver his judgment.
And then with that, I don't know if another bell rings, but he and most of the kings and queens just disappear. So they're invisible again. But there's a few left. And they walk up to the friends. And one of the queens approaches Betsy. They all look the same, but she's also beautiful. And she's like, hey, like, you'll be my guest. I'm Irma, the queen of light. And Polly, Betsy is like, well, can Hank come with me? Because, like, I don't want to be fucking alone with these strangers. And Irma's like, well, actually, the king of animals is going to take him because he knows how to show a mule a good time.
Ah!
Yeah, he does. But Betsy is like, okay, wait. Like, I actually don't want to go with you alone because you're a stranger. Like, what are we going to do? Like, yeah. There has to be something.
Yeah.
Irma turns to Polychrome and she's like, how about the Rainbow's Daughter? Would that be an agreeable companion? And Betsy's like, yeah, cool.
Yes, please.
Girlhead.
Yeah.
So Polychrome and Betsy, they go with the Queen of Light, and some other kings and queens take the rest of the people other places. And Irma leads Polychrome and Betsy through the gardens to this little village.
And it's a village of palaces. It's like a bunch of beautiful, like, palatial homes where apparently all the kings and queens live.
It's the hills.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they go find her house. And that is the end of chapter 11, The Famous Fellowship of Fairies. And Blake, what would you call that?
Gearing up for punishment.
Chapter 12, The Lovely Lady of Light.
So, like, in this village full of palaces, Irma's place is, like, up on a little hill. It has crystal windows. It has a crystal dome. And
it's like a snow globe with a glass palace inside.
Oh, I like that.
I like
that's
that,
cute.
Too.
Yeah. That's what it gives me, yeah, at least.
I like that description of it. It must be so hot in there.
No. Because magic.
But when they go inside, they're greeted by six maidens.
And these maidens are something else. Each of them has a wand, which is tipped with a light. Well, it says an emblem of light, which we'll maybe kind of understand what that means in a second. And they're all wearing these, like, custom costume, tailored robe suit things that'll make sense in a second. So the first one they meet is Sunlight. This maiden is radiantly beautiful, and that's pretty much all she's got. Moonlight is soft and dreamy. Starlight is a shy little coquette. And each of them is dressed in a shimmering silver-white robe. So it's like sleek, gossamer robes. Like, it's beautiful. They're shining. They're bright. So they're pretty. The next one is Daylight. Daylight is a brilliant damsel who wears many different colors. So she's kind of giving, like, you know, summer or something. Firelight wears this kind of, like, fleecy robe that kind of, like, billows like fire. And then Electra. She's the most beautiful and clearly envied by Daylight and Sunlight.
Yes.
She's hot.
She's fucking hot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so each of them has their little wand with their little special fire thing or light thing at the tip of it. And they all just kind of dance around.
Yeah. Like, ooh, as Irma walks through the halls of the palace, they all, like, circle her just like.
Yeah. They're just, like, fluttering about. And
it's
being
very
cute.
Like Nutcracker, like coffee, tea, candy cane situation.
Yeah.
Polychrome's going to fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, let's dance.
Already dancing with them. Yeah.
But so they go into Irma's drawing room, and it's beautiful. It's cozy. And Betsy and Polychrome, they waste zero time resting on, like, these big, like, plushy divans because they've been walking this entire book. And Irma and Daylight sit down next to Polychrome and Betsy while the rest of the, like, other star maidens go and sit in the corner just, like, keeping themselves busy, and they don't intrude.
Yeah, they're just chilling out. But Daylight is there, and this is where we learn a lot of things from Irma, some important things. So this land is inhabited by fairies who all serve the needs of mortals. So this is, like, the Queen of Light. There's, like, the King of the Animals. Like, there's probably, like, the King of the Ocean or something like that. Like, all these, like, ocean currents or weather or whatever. So that's, like, what they do. And there are so many important fairies, though, that, like, there was no one who was, like, the king of them all. And everyone was like, well, I'm important. Well, I'm important, too. But there was one person, one fairy, who didn't actually have, like, a thing like that. He didn't have, like, a, like, thing, like, a service that mortals used or whatever that
is
he had to oversee.
Don't do that. Pressure like a drip, drip, drip. That'll never stop. Ooh, ah, ooh.
He's the only one without a gift.
He is the only one without a gift. And because of that, he gets to be their king.
Yeah, it's, like, actually awesome.
Yeah, he's like, okay, like, I'll be your king because I don't have anything else to do. They all devote themselves to him and they say, hey, you're the leader of all the leaders. You have like our like your only responsibility is us. And he is the private citizen. Tititi Hoochoo, the great Jinjin.
And they couldn't have chose a better guy than Tititi Hoochoo to be their Jinjin, because the thing that sets him apart from all the other fairies is he like has no heart. So instead of a heart, he has a lot of reason and justice. So when people go to him for a punishment, it's always the right punishment.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't go too hard. He doesn't go too little. It's always fair and just.
Yeah. He has no mercy, but it's always just.
Okay.
So
he does not follow his heart.
Exactly.
Exactly.
He follows his mind.
Not a bad practice.
Yeah. No, it's good. But everyone loves him. And the Aussians even have heard of Tititi Hoochoo and are kind of afraid of him because they hear how terrible his punishments are. But it's like, well, he's only terrible to you if you're terrible. So like you hear about the bad stuff, but those people must have done something awful too.
Yeah, if you claw someone's eyes out for the joy of it, Tititi Hoochoo is probably going to give you a pretty harsh punishment.
Yeah.
If you push innocent children down the forbidden tube, Tititi Hoochoo is probably going to give you a harsh punishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I do wonder, the punishment for going down the tube is 9 days and 10 nights of torture.
Not just.
It's not just, but he would execute that upon them, for it is the law.
Because it's the rule. Yeah, I guess just I guess, because it's the rule.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just the law that's not just.
Yeah. You said a lot with that.
Thank you.
You said a lot with that.
Yeah.
So Polychrome also knows about Tititi Hoochoo. Betsy has obviously never heard of him, but learning this information, she's like, okay, like maybe he's not as scary as I thought he was. They go on talking with Queen Irma for hours and hours. And as they're talking, Betsy looks up and she realizes that Sunlight isn't sitting next to Irma anymore. Now Moonlight is sitting next to Irma.
So time is changing.
Oh.
But at this point, Betsy like notices that, but they're still like talking. And she says, hey, like, why do you have a dragon design on your robe? Because everybody's red robe has a, like, I assume golden dragon, like, embroidered on the front. And then the private citizen also has a dragon. So she's like, what the hell is that about?
Irma becomes very serious.
Yeah. And she's like, the dragon is the first living thing that was ever created. It is the oldest and wisest creature, and the first dragon who was ever born, who is as old as the world, still lives here, and he gives us wisdom. So we like wear this in his honor and to show that like we are the chosen fairies that live here.
Yeah, it's very deliver us.
It is, yeah. Like they've marked themselves, but yeah. But the big question, does the dragon have children? That's what Betsy wants to know.
So Irma tells her that some of these children wandered into other lands where mortals didn't understand them and waged war on them.
Oh my god.
So if you think about like any
How
story.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of inspiration.
I heard they're making a live action of that. How crazy is that?
I just don't want them to do that.
It's a pretty perfect
film.
It's
perfect the way it is.
But like, yeah, if you think of like any story about dragons, people always want to destroy them.
Yeah. They're so misunderstood creatures.
Absolutely. For the dragons that didn't go where the mortals are, they still live in this fairyland, but they aren't as wise as the original dragon because they have less years.
Yeah, they're just younger, so they're not as wise yet.
Mm-hmm. But Irma tells Betsy and Polychrome that the people of the fairyland wear the dragon on their robes to show that they're his favored people, and that's why they're allowed to live there.
And
okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm like
playing to little teacher's pet.
Yeah, I also wonder because the dragon was obviously there first, so they just came and colonized, and now they like wear his banner.
So true.
I don't know.
It's
I don't know.
Weird.
I wonder what other kinds of uniforms, other like just like groups of people who all stay in one place and only interact with each other, have worn.
Mm.
It's a cult. Sorry, that's all I'm saying.
Got it. But at this point, Betsy notices that Starlight is now sitting next to the queen. And with her comes a feeling of contentment and peace. And like she just feels very chilled out. And then Polly has a lot of fairy questions for Irma. She has a lot of like specialized, like, it doesn't say what they are, but she's like, I'm like a fairy, so I have a lot of these things I want to know about what's going on here. Yeah. And they talk for a long time too.
She wants to understand other fairies.
Yes, exactly. She's like, I just dance on the rainbow and now I'm with the Queen of Light.
Yeah.
What? Honestly, that's crazy.
That is kind of crazy.
Before Irma can even like answer all of the questions that Polychrome has, who is it? Firelight is now by her. It's like she's just Polychrome is cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Yeah. But now there's like a rosy, like flickering light around, and now Betsy is like nodding off. She's just like going to fucking sleep. And Irma is like, hey, okay, come here. Give me your hand. It's time for dinner. Because apparently it's only like 6 p.m. or something. Or 7.
I was like, I thought you were taking me to bed.
Yeah. It was like 5 a.m.
But right. No. But Betsy is like, okay, I actually am starving. Like, but can I even eat the food here in a fairy country? Can I eat the fairy food? And Irma's like, yeah, you can eat the food here. And she pulls a curtain and there's a big banquet hall filled with bright white light. Electra is sitting in there just like, hi, I'm electric.
I'm with the food. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Polly goes and sits on Irma's right side. Betsy's on the left side. Electra's like in the chair. And then they eat.
They ate.
They ate that.
What'd they eat?
So Polly had a bowl full of dewdrops. That were served.
I knew
her.
There was going to be dewdrops there.
Because everybody gets exactly what they want. And we don't learn what Betsy eats, but we do know she's never eaten anything half as good.
What was the other place that did that? There's another place that was like, oh, you get whatever you want. But then she didn't even get her dewdrops.
Yeah.
Was that in Oz?
Oh.
Because like,
well, it's definitely
Shaggy
the last
Man
book.
Got a bunch of apples.
In the last book, it was because the Woozy wanted to eat bees.
Oh.
And Ozma was like, you can't eat bees here, but like you can have normal other food.
Anything else.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I mixed up side characters.
Yeah. It's easy to do. Bees, dewdrops, fairy girl, monster.
Have you ever seen a bee interact with a dewdrop? Adorable.
Come on.
So while they're eating, Betsy turns to Irma and she's like, well, I suppose Electra is the youngest of all the girls, which I guess could be true.
That's what I had thought.
She's causing drama.
I know. She's like, wow, Electra's so pretty and so young.
Yeah, she's so young and youthful. I'm like, you ugly pigs.
Firelight and sunlight. You prehistoric bitches.
No coffin, please. Just mud.
Yeah.
But Irma's like, what makes you think that, Betsy? And Betsy's like, well, electricity is the newest form of light we have.
Mr. So, Edison discovered it.
Yeah, we're getting a fucking education.
She said that?
Yeah, she said that.
Okay.
But then Irma is like, well, he might have been like the first mortal to like find out about electricity, but electricity has been around like always. Like, Electra is just as old as sunlight and starlight and all the others.
People are just dumb.
Yeah, it's like, it's because you didn't know, we've always known.
Everyone knew about this.
Yeah.
That's what discovered means, though. I don't know why Irma's being such a fucking hater. Say good for Thomas Edison and eat your goddamn dinner.
Well, but Electra's not young, so she has to explain to her.
And she doesn't fucking know who Thomas is. She's like, I've been around longer than this old freak.
Yeah. She's like, light. Heard of it?
But finally, Betsy's just like, well, I guess we couldn't live without any of these ladies, could we? And Irma's like, no, I couldn't. I need all of them. Because daylight can't take the place of sunlight, which gives us strength and energy, and moonlight helps us when daylight goes to rest, because if the moon is hidden, starlight steps in and gives us her power. And if we didn't have firelight, which I didn't know existed before today, what time does firelight happen?
I think it's from fire.
We go from, oh, I see. Oh, because it keeps you warm and makes you comfortable. Okay, when you're inside your home. You're right.
Yeah.
I just kept reading my own damn notes. And then, Electra's ready to step in if the fire goes out and people can't stay warm and cozy.
Yeah.
So All righty.
And we love them all.
Yeah. She's like, I got AC. So, I got heat. I got. Yeah. Like, I got all the streaming services.
She has all the utilities.
So, like, they're staying with the light bitches who are helping mortals with all their lighting needs. Where are other people staying?
That's what I want to know.
What is Tubekins doing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think Tubekin is the king of the, he's the king of the tube.
So he's just
but
for the,
I've never seen
the tube.
The tube.
They all went down a tube.
The tube only happens in fairy countries. We don't need him.
That's true.
Maybe, is he the only one?
Maybe we. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know what would happen if the wrong guy got a hold of the tube. Okay?
And you know, there might be other tubes elsewhere.
Yeah.
We just don't
You've
know
You've gone
about
through
him.
Tubes. You guys said a water slide in the last episode. That's
we
a
did,
tube.
We did City Museum.
And you know, I did see someone that might have looked like a tube kitten.
There you go.
More on that later. But yeah, Irma's just like, as the queen of light, I love all of my maidens equally. And Betsy's like, me too. But sometimes when I'm really sleepy, I don't want any light at all. And I think she's dropping yeah. hints.
Irma's like, you want to go to bed? And she's like, yeah, I guess I'm a little tired. And Electra takes Betsy, takes her back to like a private room. It's like a nice clean little bed. There's a little like a clean nightgown for her to change into. So Electra like waits for her to do that, makes sure she's okay. And then she leaves. And then Betsy goes right the fuck to sleep because yeah. she's exhausted.
Knocked
she
out.
Fell through the entire earth.
Yeah, that was like me last night.
Yeah, you fell through the earth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And that is the end of chapter 12, The Lovely Lady of Light. And Blake, what would you, lovely lady, that?
An illuminating evening.
That's good.
Did we like this?
That was a good one.
It's immediately recognizable. Mm-hmm. Chapter 13, The Jinjin's Just Judgment.
So it's J. I was thinking with the G.
Yep, yeah. Because our cocktail is the Jinjin Judgment.
Oh,
but
okay.
With a G. But this is the Jinjin Just Judgment.
So the next morning, the adventurers are all gathered together in the residence of TDT Hoochoo.
The Jinjin.
The kings and queens that hosted the gang are all visible, but they can tell that they're surrounded by other invisible people all around them again. And the bell rings. And all of the invisible people appear.
And the Jinjin is there too this time. So he appears with the normal bell. And everyone greets the private citizen. They call him the mightiest of all rulers, whose word is law and whose law is just. Like you'd say to anybody. It's not crazy at all. And then the Jinjin gives us a really long monologue. Like this is just all him talking in a good way. But also it's like, a lot of this is just him talking.
Yeah. He just basically says that, like, a long time ago, one of their subjects foolishly created the forbidden tube, and they were properly punished for that mistake.
Here's my question. You. Is that Tubekin? Do you think Tubekin is the one that made the tube?
And so now he has to...
And now he's king of the tube?
Yeah.
I didn't want to say this earlier because
like
for obvious reasons. But yeah, like, he's giving me, like... Did the tube, got punished, said it's okay because he, of course, is loyal to the Jinjin. Because
you'd rather be like a little fairy. You don't want to be a tube king.
I like that. Okay, we need a Wicked musical except for this place.
Oh my gosh.
So it's all leading up to when these people came down the tube.
I would pay to watch that.
But yeah, we also learn that these poor strangers were thrown into the tube against their will by the wicked King Rugado, who has been warned many times that he will be severely punished if he uses the forbidden tube.
Yeah. The Gnome King is immortal, but he is fucking evil. He only hurts people. And so, like, he's just a really bad guy. And he's taken the brother of one of these strangers, obviously Shaggy Man's brother, prisoner. And they were just seeking to set him free and conquer the Gnome King. That's all they were doing. And Rugado did the bad thing and put them in the tube. And Calico told him not to. Apparently, there's such a thing called the Fairy Records.
Yes. It's just like Glinda's book,
apparently.
Except it's for the Jinjin.
Yeah. He goes and looks at the Fairy Record, flips through, and sees, I know.
If they're just everywhere, then everybody's what's got the one. Fucking point of it being so, like, yeah. Glenn does nothing now to me.
How many magic belts are out there?
Yeah.
How many magic pictures?
It's like, okay, all of a sudden, okay, yes, because, like, all of a sudden everyone can bend the roads around and send them to strange places. Everyone has a magic book that shows them things. They have that fucking long-eared hearer and the telescope thing that can let them see anywhere. They just have all the same shit.
You have to be born blessed. You can't practice magic. Just got to be born blessed.
Yeah. God knows. But because of the fairy records, he reads that Calico had told the Gnome King, hey, you know that you're not supposed to do that. And he knows that the Gnome King disobeyed him willingly. So he knows that he's doing the bad thing.
So this fact means that, like, he basically started on the outside and worked in and shows us all the reasons why the Gnome King is the only one to blame for this.
Yeah.
So it's like, is Calico to blame? No. Just the Gnome King. Yeah. Which, like, I agree with. I'm cool with. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And he says that he is going to send an instrument of vengeance with them to go punish the Gnome King.
Yeah, he says, you're going back through the tube along with my instrument of vengeance, which is crazy. But the punishment is that whoever is acting as the instrument of vengeance will drive Ruggedo from his caverns, take away his magic powers permanently, and make him a homeless wanderer on the face of the earth.
Which he hates.
He detests the top of the earth.
He hates the earth surface.
He's just getting like just thrown around left and right. Yeah.
Like poor Gnome King, but also stop fucking with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, just stop. You're supposed to forget everything and like be a nice person again.
It's very like Team Rocket is blasting off again. It's like, well, stop trying.
But
like,
I don't want to be his friend.
Yeah. This is like the last fucking straw. Like, the forgetful thing. Like, oh, that sucks. You know, yeah. But no, now we're actually gonna leave a mark on you.
What's crazy is that Glinda took away Mombi's powers, without even a second thought. Like, Glinda said, hey, Mombi, you're going to, like, lose all your powers, and then, like, or you'll die.
He took the Crooked Magician's powers.
Yeah, but for the Gnome King, they said, oh, start over, and be immortal again. Maybe they can't kill him. Maybe they can't kill him, though.
They can make it so that it's impossible for him to ever have magic
again. But you know what they can do? They can rip him up into a million shreds and scatter him across the land.
They can make him into hamburger, and then he'll still be alive just as hamburger. That's what I read.
That's what they told me.
Yeah. That is what they said. Yeah, it's vile. That's what I read. My jaw's on the floor, but that is what they said.
But after this, everyone is like, just general hubbub.
Yeah.
Because they're like, that's a pretty bad punishment. Like, you're going to take him from his cavern, take away his magic, and then make him wander the earth forever as an immortal.
Like, the people think this is, like...
That's what I do.
Yeah.
The people think that this is a horrifying punishment, but they're also like, I mean, the Jinjin doesn't go outside of the bounds of justice.
So, you know, like, and if anything, maybe they're reacting because they're like, wow, if that's the punishment, his crimes must have been crazy.
Exactly.
This sounds like propaganda. It's like that everyone just says that Jinjin does what's right and justice. Yeah. I do think in this situation, he actually is doing the right thing.
We don't know the history.
But the whole like 9 days of torture.
Yeah.
That was a little, I mean, I guess that was a law, but still, I just like, I don't like everyone being like, this is like the man that's right about everything. Cause I feel like he's
like,
forcing them to do that. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. He's
they don't know everything.
He really shouldn't have laughed that one time when the Jinjin coughed. That was like that was too far. He shouldn't have done that.
Jinjin did what he had to do.
That was just
But the fact of the matter is, Tita Ti Hoochoo, the great Jinjin, the private citizen, says
so many.
I know.
I was like, wait, are we talking about three people?
Yeah, all in one. But he says, I know that it's not gonna be like a fun errand to do. Like, no one's gonna want to be the instrument of vengeance. Like, it's a big job, and so like, I took a look at the fairy records and tried to see if there's anyone who, like, you know, needs to do a penance, basically.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Tita Ti Hoochoo. If you did something bad, I can make this your punishment.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And thankfully, though, no one's done anything bad. None of the fairy kings or queens have done anything bad. None of their like followers, like the Maidens of Light or anything, have done anything bad. And he's like, no one has made an error in this land except for one of the dragons.
The dragons who we revere as our gods. He discovered that the dragon Quox has made an error. Because Quox is a young dragon. He still has a lot to learn. And TDT Hoochoo discovered from the fairy records that Quox has been disrespectful to the old original dragon. TDT Hoochoo discovered that Quox has told the original dragon to mind his own business at times. He has also told the original dragon that he's a crazy old man who's very foolish because of his old age.
Okay. It's pretty bad. This dragon's as old as the world, so that's kind of fucked up, I guess.
Yeah. How old is this dragon? You said young?
That's he's all young. They say.
Like child?
He's a child dragon.
Like, I would say, like, adolescent dragon.
Yeah, he's like a teenage dragon.
Of course he's
going to
say some dumb shit.
Yeah. He's going to stop but his enemies with his dragon power.
But I think that...
damn it.
I think that he, you know, what it sounds like he's done the bad thing. And he knew he shouldn't have. And also, the thing, too, is that TDT Hoochoo cannot do an unjust thing. So it must be okay. And we know that.
I hate this. This is... I'm getting, like... I feel like I'm getting converted to something right now.
Yeah.
Like someone's trying to mess with my mind. This and all of a sudden religion. I don't know what's wrong or right. I'm like, yeah, fuck that little dragon.
The Wizard of Oz is a very, very good man with very, very real magic.
Not a
and
humbug.
TDT Hoochoo Jinjin is always just. Just believe, Hannah. And that old bachelor who tells the daughters how to live in the Horner country. He's right as rain.
Okay. The narration was telling us he was bad.
So even though the dragons don't really have to be governed by the laws of the fairies, Quox's disrespect is so severe that it can't be ignored. And TDT Hoochoo has selected Quox to be the one to inflict the punishment on Ruggedo.
And everyone bows in approval. And they say, yes, TDT Hoochoo. Yes, Private Citizen Ojinjin. And then TD Hoochoo says, okay, cool, Tubekins, you take the strangers back to the tube and have them enter it. And Tubekins bows, and then in a flash, all the other kings and queens and the private citizen TD Hoochoo Jinjin disappear. But they're actually still there. You just can't see them. So they're like breathing on you still.
I hate that. Like... I don't know. Leave the room and then disappear.
Yeah. Like, just file out. Later. You're going to have to walk no matter what. Yeah.
I know you're still in here.
Yeah.
It's just weird because now we have to sit in silence for some reason.
They're doing it for attention, and that's the hard part.
Like, come on, just go. Leave. As Tubekins is leading them back to the tube, Anne and her officers are like nervous or a little unsettled. And Anne asks the Shaggy Man, she's like, how am I supposed to conquer the world if I'm leaving this country and we didn't conquer it?
And Shaggy Man says, well, you can't conquer the world and don't ask why.
Straight to the fucking point. It's like, actually, I'm sick and tired of your goddamn narrative.
Yeah. Seriously. He's like, we're not friends.
This is not part of my story.
So at this point, you know, they walk back, they reach the tube. And we're told, I don't think we were told this before because of so much happening, but it has like a silver rim and it has like gold railing all around it so no one can fall in, which is great safety, you know, infrastructure for the time. And there's a sign that says, if you are out, stay there. And if you are in, don't come out. And there's also a sign that reads that it was burrowed and built by Hiergargo the Magician in the year of the world 19,625,478.
Yeah, I've seen some of his work.
Yeah.
Not about this 20 one, million though, years ago. Because this one was made for his own exclusive uses.
Yeah. No one's allowed in that tube. And now I think that guy's Tubekin, but I don't know.
But Betsy's like, yeah, he sure was some builder, but if he'd known he was going to fly into that star, he probably would have spent his time doing something else, which is kind of funny because youchies. But Shaggy
sorry,
Shaggy is getting impatient. He's like, what the hell are we waiting for? And Tubekins is like, we're waiting for Quox, the dragon.
Yeah, are you insane? We just talked about how he was coming with us. Like, or with you. But then all of a sudden they hear him coming. They hear the sound of his feet going, ka-tunk, ka-tunk, and like a scraping. And they're like, is he invisible? Because there's not a dragon around here. And Tubekins like, nope. But he is actually super annoying. So I sort of wish he was invisible, yeah, which is sort of fucked up.
Is he tiny?
So
suddenly a huge dragon comes out from between two bushes.
Absolutely gigantic, louder than they thought.
The biggest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah. And he says, good morning, because he's kind.
Oh.
Betsy is shocked by how enormous Quox is. She's thinking, like, he's a young dragon. He should be small. He's a kid. We learn his body is sky blue. It is covered in glittering silver scales, each of which are as big as serving trays.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's a pink ribbon around his neck.
For whatever reason why, so cute.
And a little string of pearls around which is a locket the size of a bass drum.
He's giving coquette.
Yeah.
He's so coquette. Yeah. I want a tattoo of him.
And his eyes are super big. His teeth are really sharp and blinding and terrible. And he smells like brimstone. And that's because he breathes fire like a normal dragon.
And he also has like an enormous lantern like the size of a porta potty tied to the end of his tail.
Yeah.
So he can like lift it and like have light.
He also has seats strapped to his back. So he is giving just like,
he's ready to
like
go.
Like tour bus, basically.
Yeah.
He's going to be like a roller coaster.
It's giving yip, yip.
Yeah, exactly.
Get up, whatever, sawhorse. What is he called? Get up, sawhorse. He had to learn to get up. Real fans would know.
Get up, sawhorse.
It is.
Gadap. Yeah, you're right.
So Betsy, seeing the seats, like the double seats on his back, she's like, do you mind carrying us, Quox? And Quox is like, oh, I don't mind. Like, I'm in trouble. I got caught being a bad boy. I have to obey the orders of the Jinjin. It's part of my punishment. I don't blame you guys at all. We are totally cool. Hop on. Let's go to the other side of the
world. So Quox is cool.
Everyone's drinking the orange juice or whatever.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid. Like,
I did a really bad thing and I totally deserve this. Crawl all over me.
Yeah. But to be fair, it doesn't seem like it's really going to be a trouble for him.
He's enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all like pennies to him.
Yeah, exactly. So he says, literally, all aboard, and they all jump on him, and they're about to go to the other side of the world.
Yeah. L. Frank Baum actually says that it's like they're on a tour bus, which I'm like, damn, they like had like double-decker like city buses back then?
Well, they called it a sightseeing wagon in the text.
Okay, he called it a sightseeing wagon.
Yeah. They were on the bank of the Connecticut River, probably.
Well, okay, but we are going to reference headlights later.
That's true.
Oh.
But so Quox makes sure everyone's ready to go. He crawls into the tube. He starts to slide. And at first they are like ripping through the tunnel. Like they are going. And finally Quox just like has to slow down. He's like, I'm going to make myself dizzy. Do you guys mind if I like not go that fast? And they're like, don't go that fast.
Yeah.
We didn't like that.
Actually, everyone's sick.
But Shaggy Man is like, have you been in this tube before? Because it seems like Quox like is like, whoa, this is weird. And Quox is like, no one in the country has been through the tube, like at least not since I was born. And Betsy's like, well, how long ago was that you were born?
So next week, Quox is going to be 3,056 years old.
And his mother was going to make him a cake, but now he's afraid that he won't be back in time. And she was going to put 3,056 birthday candles on
it. He's a baby.
He's just a baby, yeah. But Betsy is like,
what the?
Yeah, Betsy's like, you're not a baby. Like,
yeah,
that's
like,
insane.
I've never even known anything to exist that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing I know has existed in that amount of time.
I'm not even sure America's been around that long.
Well, yeah.
Quox is like, well, the original dragon, who I would call a stupid old humbug if I hadn't already learned my lesson, I'm reformed, The original dragon is so old that it makes me a little baby.
Yeah, he says that all he talks about is boring stories from 50,000 years ago and how his grandpa shouldn't even, great-grandfather, whatever, shouldn't be alive because he's so old and behind the times.
Like, you're so stuck in the past. What are you even doing here?
You need to get punished, Quox. Like, show some respect. Like,
I mean, that's mean to say. Yeah. To, like, wish death on someone. But I don't know. We've never met the original dragon. Maybe he's a piece of shit.
I would love to hear about Pangaea.
Yeah, I'd be like, 50,000? Give me that. Give me that.
I don't know. Original more. Dragon, will you tell me about Pangaea? Hua!
And maybe it is like that.
But Quox asks if everyone can see fine. He can, like, totally make more light if they need to. But the tube, it's just all metals on all, it's all metal on all the sides. And Betsy's like, we can see fine, but there's really not much to see. But what we learn is he can make more light because Quox's eyes are like the headlights of a car. And glowing. He also has that lantern on his tail so they can all see each other. But his eyes are glowing so bright that they can see several feet in front of them.
They can see, like, way down the tube. And it's a long tube, so, yeah, there's
it just They're looks like a big dark hole.
For that.
Yeah, it's like, it's whatever needs, that is. It's
we
like
need more tubes and more dragons.
Yeah, I think so.
Super efficient travel. But the dragon basically is, like, the dragon Quox, like, enjoys talking. They have a long journey because even though, like they're on him and he's, like, making sure they're going a little slower, so it's going to take him a while. So they're like, we just got to talk anyway. And Quox does. And he comments eventually, like, after a while, he's like, God, I hope my, like, claws don't get dull from sliding down here, like, for 3 hours. Like, I kind of need those. They're my weapons.
Yeah. Betsy's like, why do you need sharp claws? He says, yeah, those are my weapons. And if you want me to destroy Ruggedo, I'm going to need some weapons for that.
What about fire?
Seriously.
Well, Anne, it doesn't even matter, though, because Anne is like, oh, don't worry. Like, we don't need your claws or anything. Like, my army's actually invincible. So, like, we're not even going to need your help.
You guys are only invincible because you've never actually fought something.
Exactly.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah. And you may be undefeated, but you are not invincible.
Yeah.
Quox is basically like, okay, cool. Like, I'm probably going to still just sharpen my nails.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't trust y'all.
Yeah. He's like, I hope that you guys do not need my help, but in case, like, yeah.
I'm a giant dragon.
Yeah.
Then Quox takes a big breath and sighs. And when he does this, a long shot of fire shoots out of his mouth.
Yeah. And it, like, blows back on the friends.
Yeah, they're, like, riding through it.
Oh.
It's, yeah. And the officers scream. And everyone else is pretty much fine, though.
So invincible.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Scared of a little sparks.
Let's talk about invincible. Yeah, they're all freaking out. Shaggy asks Quox, he's like, is there a fire inside of you?
And he says, of course.
Yeah, I'm a dragon?
Yeah. And he's like, well, like, what keeps it going? Like, is there, like, obviously, she's like, there's a fire burning inside you at all times. Like, what does that even mean? And Quox doesn't know. But he's like, but it keeps me alive, keeps me moving, thinking, like, speaking, does all my works. So my fire just keeps running.
TikTok is like, I can relate to you. We both have a thing that keeps us functioning.
Yeah, so does everyone there.
Yeah, it's everyone.
Have you ever heard of
That's
organs?
Everyone.
Yeah, seriously.
You ever heard of a heart?
Yeah.
I don't think you have one of those.
Exactly.
So.
That's what Quox says.
Nevertheless, though, he's just like, I'm just like you, you're just
no,
like me.
Quox is like, I'm alive, you're dead. Like, you're a piece of metal, and you're a dummy, and you can run down.
Okay.
And Shaggy Man doesn't like that.
No. No, don't talk about my friends.
He's
like,
don't be mean to my friend. Actually, he was trying to have a good time.
And Shaggy's like, well, what happens if you run out of gasoline, Quox? And Quox is like, I don't use gasoline.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. And then he's like, well, okay, what if you ran out of fire then? What happens then?
I'd be dead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Quox is like, that's like a really fun what if game you're playing. My great 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 grandfather has been alive for 52 million years.
What about your grandfather?
Yeah.
What about your relative?
Exactly. Yeah. Come to me in the next 60 years, Shaggy Man, and tell me that again. Oh, no, you'll be dead. Exactly. And my fire burns yet.
Yeah. Quox does admit that the original dragon is more smoke than fire these days, but he can still fire.
There's something there.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point, he also notes that TikTok is also just a giant copper machine, and Ruggedo is the metal monarch and will probably literally melt him down and turn him into pennies.
Yeah. And is like, actually, nonsense. TikTok's my army, and my army can conquer Ruggedo because she's still on her pride shit, which, like, honestly...
The first time you met TikTok, he was stuck in a well.
He was in a well. You fished him out of a yeah. well.
And then he got stuck in a fountain.
Yeah.
So...
Honestly, though, God. She has to save face. She... All of this reflects poorly
There's
on
nothing
her.
Else she can yeah. do. She, yeah. Her hands are tied. Yeah.
So Anna's like, Polychrome, what do you think? Do you think that TikTok can win in a battle against Ruggedo and his army?
And Polly's like, they can sure try to make that work. But either way, fire-breathing dragon as backup yeah. is a really nice thing
you
to have.
You do have a dragon, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like having a dragon as backup.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing they've had.
Seriously. Honestly, yeah. As far as like the different things that they've ridden into battle, way better than the Gump. Yeah. Or the thing, or whatever they called it.
The Gump did not know how to fly. The Woozy did not know how to roar. The Sawhorse, he frightens me.
No, Sawhorse is good.
Sawhorse is probably the best one out of all of them.
Yeah. Lion and Tiger aren't so bad, but they're totally, like, they can't do anything against the rock people.
Yeah.
No. No, they certainly didn't do anything last time they were in the rock country.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But at this point, though, Polychrome makes her little comment, and Quox is like, yeah, Polychrome, you're definitely a fairy, because you're wise and cunning, and you got it, girl.
Queen.
Queen. And that's the end of chapter 13, The Jinjin's Just Judgment. And Blake, what would you call that?
Dragon Tales, Dragon Tales.
Woo, 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 woo.
Thank you for listening to Oz Hour. Please join us next time as we continue with Chapter 14, The Long-Eared Hearer Learns by Listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swingham. Co-hosted by Hannah Aguirre. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Rudy Klobus. Cover art by Valentin Lucas.